This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with Rabbi Dr. Mark Kinzer. Again, if you haven't had a chance to tune in to the programs this week, we've been talking about his own journey. Dr. Kinzer, raised Jewish, how he came to believe in Jesus as Messiah, how he entered into an emerging world of messianic congregations of other Jewish believers who are following Jesus as disciples. And then from that, coming to see God was leading them into a relationship with historic Christian churches, in particular dialoguing with the Catholic Church about who they are. And it's just been so exciting and wonderful just to hear that story, Mark, and thanks for really sharing it.
Oh, it's a pleasure to do so, Peter.
Yeah. As I was thinking about yesterday's program, you mentioned Messianic Jewish congregations emerging in Israel. Tell our friends, maybe who are just tuning in today, what is a Messianic Jewish congregation and how many are there and what constitutes such a congregation?
Yes. Messianic Jewish congregations are congregations that are made up largely of Jewish people, but also of some non-Jews who are associated with them, who are seeking to express their faith in Jesus in a Jewish context. What that might look like will vary greatly from congregation to congregation and also between Israel on the one hand or the United States on the other or Eastern Europe or Russia or the Ukraine and other places. But what they all have in common is a sense that the Jewish disciples of Jesus, Jewish believers in Jesus, need to live a common life, a life together with one another, and to express their faith in Jesus in Jewish ways. And so what's most common is that meetings will be on the Jewish Sabbath rather than on Sunday. In some Messianic congregations, most I would say probably outside the land of Israel, there'll be some forms of traditional Jewish liturgy that are found. Some of the congregations will have a Torah service, a traditional Torah scroll being kept within the ark, mm-hmm. and a procession with the Torah, mm-hmm. and the reading of the Torah. That's a little less common in Israel than it is in the United States. But the key thing to see is in all of these contexts, there is an attempt to find a way to express faith of Jesus in Jesus in some kind of Jewish form.
One of the things we haven't talked much about your book and promoting your book has been, sorry I didn't do that. You're probably wondering, scratching your head, wait a minute, why is this guy not saying anything about my book? Mark just wrote a new book called Searching Her Own Mystery, Nostra Aetate, The Jewish People and the Identity of the Church. It's a brand new book, and it's a foreword written by Christoph Cardinal Schönborn, who's been a key part of the dialogue between the Messianic Jewish community and the Catholic Church. And this is built on the documents from the Second Vatican Council, Nostra Aetate, where in the document talks about searching her mystery.
That's right.
And the Church isn't going to be able to fully understand itself apart from historic Judaism and the chosen people, really. But you're saying also there's a mutual thing there, right? Tell us a little bit about the book.
Yes. Well, you know, this book really tries to bring together my experience and my thinking over the last 45 years of engagement with Catholics and the Catholic Church. And I have a chapter in the book which tells a bit of my own story, and some of the things that we've talked about in the last few days are in that chapter. But what I'm also reflecting on are the documents of Vatican II, and particularly two of the documents, Lumen Gentium, the document that's about the Church, and then Nostra Aetate, which is this document that is dealing with the Church's relationship to other religions, but which has this seminal section in it dealing with the Church's relationship with the Jewish people. And really what I'm trying to explore within this book is the way in which these two are interconnected, the sense that in the Nostra Aetate chapter that's dealing with the Jewish people, as you said, Peter, it begins by saying that it's in searching her own mystery, the Church's own mystery, that it encounters this reality of a connection to the Jewish people. And what that means is that there's some sense in which Judaism and the Jewish people are key to the church's own understanding of herself. And so Lumen Gentium, which was the document about the church, you know, needs to be understood in relationship to Nostra Aetate. The two need to be seen together. And so what I'm doing in this book is trying to unpack, trying to explore a sense of a dual mystery, which I think you were alluding to, Peter. On the one hand, there's the sense of a mystery that's at the heart of the church. And of course, the mystery at the heart of the church is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But because of Jesus's irrevocable bond to the Jewish people, it means that the Jewish people itself is part of that mystery that's at the heart of the church. And that in order to probe more deeply her own heart, the church suddenly encounters Judaism. And this is something that John Paul II himself said, you know, when the church encounters Jesus, the church encounters Judaism. But the other dimension of the mystery is recognizing at the center of the Jewish people, at the heart of the Jewish people, in a mysterious, hidden way, is the living reality of the person of Jesus. That Jesus continues to live on in the midst of Israel, in the midst of his own flesh and blood. That he has this irrevocable connection to his own people, even when they resist him. And I love to see a parallel between the relationship of Jesus and the Jewish people and the relationship of Joseph and his brothers. And during this period of time when the brothers of Joseph are going to Egypt and dealing with their brother, they have no idea that this is their brother, but they are dealing with him, and his identity is a mystery to them, you know. And in the same way, I believe that Jesus is like Joseph, continuing to provide for his own flesh and blood family and leading them through a process which ultimately will lead to their recognition of who he is and to a great homecoming.
Oh, that's a powerful analogy. Before I go any farther, how can people get Searching Her Own Mystery?
Yes. Well, it would be available on Amazon.com. You could also go to my own website, markkinzer.com, to get more information about the book and other books that I've written. But many online bookstores will be having this book available. It's also available as an ebook.
Okay, very good. Friends, I really encourage you to go get it. It's very good stuff. One of the things that Nostra Aetate dealt with is this, the word often used, is supersessionism.
Yes.
And the problem of supersessionism. Help our listeners, what does that mean exactly? And what did it mean for you as a Jewish believer when you began to read how the Catholic Church was speaking about this? What did that mean to you? What did that say to you?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, supersessionism is the teaching that the church simply replaces the Jewish people in the economy of God, that when the Jewish people do not accept Jesus as their Messiah, they are thereby cut off from their covenantal identity, and that now they simply become like any other people grouping in the world. And until Jews then come to believe in Jesus, they really are no different than anybody else in the world, and that the church is now, as the new Israel, has simply replaced the old Israel. And this has been a common way of understanding Christianity that many, many Christians have had through the centuries. It was never an official teaching of the church. And you can find teachers of the church who've taught differently throughout the centuries, but it was a common, popular way of understanding things. And really, what's so significant about Nostra Aetate is that it very clearly explicitly rejects this notion. It very clearly says that the Jewish people are still beloved of God and have this covenantal bond with God because of the promise that God made to the patriarchs, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Mark, how do you, recognizing the covenant that God made with Israel and the way that the church has done it, how does the Catholic Church make that recognition without saying ultimately that there are two saving covenants yes. and the Jewish people don't need to know that's Jesus right. as their Messiah? How do you deal with that yes. problem?
And in many ways, that's really, again, what my book is about. If one realizes that the mystery of Jewish identity is fundamentally bound up with the person of Jesus, that then what you've done is you've really totally destroyed any notion of two separate ways, because the notion of two separate paths or two separate covenants is really based on the premise that Jesus is for the Gentiles mm-hmm. and that God somehow has this relationship with the Jewish people that's independent of the person of Jesus.
Yeah.
But what I'm arguing is that God's relationship with the Jewish people, which is irrevocable, is bound up with the very person of Jesus. And of course, anyone who is an Orthodox Trinitarian has to believe this anyways, because the reality of God, the Father, is always mediated through the person of the Son and by the Spirit. You never have the Father relating independently right. to somebody apart from the yeah. Son so like, and the Spirit.
Well, the Father will relate to the Jews and the yeah, Son will go relate exactly, to the Gentiles.
Exactly,
kind of
exactly. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, it's only by having what I would say is a very unorthodox approach to the Trinity or to the deity of Jesus that one could hold this kind of two paths. But within a Trinitarian context and within a context with a very high Christology, a high sense of the person of Jesus, one can recognize that Jesus is at work in the life of a people and in the life of a tradition, even when they're not fully aware of that reality. And so what I would say is evangelism in relationship to the Jewish people is not trying to bring the Jewish people to something completely drastically new. It's an attempt to lift a veil, to simply reveal the reality that has always been
journey,
in the heart.
This is the journey the Father has led you on from the beginning.
Exactly.
You know, and so almost passage in Galatians or Ephesians, you know, when the time had reached its fullness,
yes.
you know, God's
yes.
progressive revelation was reaching its fullness.
That's right.
And it was coming first to the Jewish people.
That's right. Exactly. Right? Yeah. Or I see it almost like the Jesus relationship to the Jewish people as like Jesus with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. You know,
okay.
He's in their midst, and they're talking about him and everything, and they have no clue that he's hidden from them, even right. though he's present.
Yeah.
And then there's this climactic moment in the breaking of the bread when he's revealed to them. You know, and it's for me very similar again to the Joseph story and this sense of Jesus in the midst of his people. And so I think this kind of perspective allows us to both truly appreciate the fact of God's enduring and irrevocable relationship with the Jewish people, God's presence in the midst of Judaism as a historical reality, and at the same time realize the absolute centrality of Jesus and the importance of continuing to hope and pray that the Jewish people as a whole will come to the recognition of this truth that's yeah. the mystery of its own being.
No, wonderfully put, and it's something we all ought to be praying for. One more time, friends, Searching Her Own Mystery. You can get it at Amazon.com. Wonderful book. God bless you. Dr. Kinz will be with us again tomorrow.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.